of fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from me.
But Bentley, you made a definite promise in the full hearing of the whole cast and the whole Layabout Orchestra. You said, and these are your very words, you said, I hereby promise that this series I will not sing one song. Remember that?
I remember.
And after you put it in writing, we lifted the piano off your chest.
Yes. But, Jim, this is a special case.
Eh?
This is one song I must sing. This song is absolutely me. You know what I've become known as.
Well, don't tell me they've incorporated that word into a song.
I mean...
What rhymes with
it? No, please, my... I sang this song in the 20s, and it's only just been revived.
What a pasting you must have given it, my word.
Nothing can destroy this number, Jim. I tell you why, because this is a song that tells a story. A real story. Just listen.
Shepherd of the hills, I hear you calling. Shepherd of the hills, when twilight falls, I seem to picture the black sheep returning. I miss the fold, and my sad heart is yearning for the daffodils and crimson clover. By the rock and rills I long to roam, back to the near ones and dear ones who love me. Shepherd of the hills, I'm coming home.
Yes, Shepherd of the hills, they called him. Old Joe. Picture him now sitting outside his lonely stone croft, high on those rolling green hills he knows and loves so well. In his arms he cradles a tiny newborn lamb, and his gnarled hands are strangely tender as he feeds it with a fountain pen filler.
Ah, there now, my little lovely name. Swallow it down. That be the best blue-black ink in the county. Now, my little lamb, Jim. Don't he be afeared.
Grandfather.
There'll be Jeremy coming down from the hilltop.
Oh, Gramps, what a lovely day it's been. What's that you're holding, Gramps? Oh, isn't he sweet? Oh, Gramps, I think there is nothing in all nature quite so wonderful as a little lamb.
Ah, especially with a drop of mint sauce, I always say. Now tell old Gramps what brought he down from them aerials, tell him.
Oh, Gramps, you know how I love all nature's creatures.
Oh,
I... Well, by the daffodils, I found a little thing with a hurt foot.
Oh.
I carried it home in my shirt. Look at it, Gramps. You know so much more about nature's creatures than I. Is it a chaffinch?
No, boy, it's a rabbit, actually. Jeremy, sit it down, my little codlin'.
Very well, Grandfather.
Good boy. Settle yourself firmly. Now today, me darling boy, today be your 18th birthday. Now, Jeremy, there's some of you been holding from me since your childhood. But now, I gotta tell you.
You've got a telly? Oh, I've always wanted a telly. Oh, where is it, Gramps?
Tell you now, Jeremy, you're wandering a bit now. That phrase was just shepherd talk for I have news to impart. Jeremy, I bain't be your grandfather.
You bain't be my grandfather?
No, Jeremy. And truth of it be too fantastic for believing.
You mean I'm your grandfather?
Nobody bain't be nobody's grandfather, nobody bain't. Jeremy, 18 years ago, I were walking these green hills looking for ferret's eggs. And You know how I one does.
Go on, Gramps.
And I shall. And suddenly, down there in a bunch of crimson clover, I found zummit. It were a carry cut. Jeremy, I took it home, and you know what I done?
Made it into jam?
Kind of fruit, my sweeting. A carry cut do be a little blue upside-down shed what city folk do carry babies in. Well, just so I carried home, there came a small cry from the within on it.
Me.
Thee it were. So I kept thee. Brought thee up as best I could.
You've been wonderful to me. You couldn't have treated me better if I was a sheep.
Maybe, my fingling, somewhere in this world you have parents and perhaps a city-type kind of home with glass in the windows and friends what wear underclothes. That manner of type of existence.
Grandfather, this is... Well, it's come as a shock, naturally. But it makes no difference. Home is where your heart is, and my heart is here with you and the filth.
Jeremy... The two of us is inseparable. Me and the filth. Jeremy, my little shepherd's delight, you've made an old man very happy. Ah, that'll be the sheepdog. Let him in.
How do you do?
Oh, Gramps, it's a lady. A lady with a fur coat and a pair of glasses on a stick.
Ah, that'd be what they call a laundrette, What do we be out to want in, Madam Lady, like?
Well, I must apologize for bursting in on you at cocktail time, but you don't happen to have... You don't happen to have seen a baby around the clover anywhere, do you?
A child type of baby?
Yes, that's it. I hope I'm not the most awful bore, but Roger and I were out this way on a picnic, and we put the carricot down so Roger could use both hands to open the pate tureen. We know what swine they are to open. And, anyway, we drove back, lovely picnic, and we just got into Eaton Square when it hit me. And I said to Roger, Rog, where's the little blessing? Well, Roger was all for turning the car round and going straight back. But, you know, we were late for the man rings already, so he left it to me to come back as soon as pos. And here I am.
Begging your pardon, grand lady, but that were 18 years ago.
Yes, I know. But anyway, here I am, and you've been awfully sweet, and I do hope I haven't been too much of a bore. Bye-bye.
Hey, wait a minute. Well, they had a baby.
Oh, yes, of course. Aren't I the absolute perimeter? Well, have you seen him?
Jeremy Tanner.
Mother.
So I said goodbye to Job and the sheep and the green hills, and I took up my rightful position with my newfound parents. Soon I was the leader of the madcap Mayfair set. It was all that any young man could crave for, and yet...
Little more champagne on your cornflakes, Jeremy?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Darling, are you all right? Last night was the second time this week you came in before 4 a.m. Aren't you well?
I'm all right, Mother. It's just that... Well, it's spring. In the hills, all the ewes will be lambing.
Lambing what, dear?
Oh, you just don't understand.
You're still thinking about that smelly old shepherd, aren't you?
Yes. That smelly old shepherd.
No. Quietly now, Millie. And you, Rosie. It'd be a dark night, but don't ye be afeard. There, Sarah. Settle down. Ah, that's it. You're safe with old Job. Millie! Don't ye shove like that, or you'll have us all out of bed. There's plenty of room. It's a flock mattress. Now, let's be having some sleep. Who'll be that? Well, how do I know till I open it? Well, stop nagging, then.
Hello, Gramps.
'Tis my Jeremy. He do be have come back. Come back, he do be have. Oh, Jeremy, thee be do have come back, haven't he, do be?
Yes, Gramps. I've had my fill of city folk and their artificiality.
Oh, Jeremy.
I found out something. It is only in the hills that people are on the level.
Me laddling, and that be do be a lesson. Each must learn for himself, that be do be. The city life may look paved with gold, but when ye get near it, what do it turn out to be? Merely glinsel and titter. And he don't want any glinsel and titter, do he?
Oh, wise old Gramps. I've come back home.
And that be do be the story of the black sheep who returned to the fold. Did he regret it, you ask? Not a bit on it. The following Thursday, we sold the whole ruddy hill as an atomic rocket site. Tomorrow, we be on our way to the Bahamas on the money.
Shepherd of the hill, we're craving home.
What are you two of?
Two the lily white boys, pull that boarding me, ho ho! One is one and all alone, and evermore shall be so.
I'll sing you three of.
Three grow the rushes, oh.
What are you three of?
Three the rivals. Two the lily white boys, pull that boarding me, ho ho! One is one and all alone, and evermore shall be so.
What are you for? Oh?
All for the gospel makers. Three the rivals. Two the lily white boys. Gold and all in green. Ho, ho! One is one and all alone. And evermore shall be so.
I'll sing you five, oh.
Green grow the rushes, oh.
What are you five, oh?
Five for the symbols at your door. And four for the gospel makers. Three the rivals. Two the lily white boys, pull their loving green, ho ho! One is one and all alone, and evermore shall be so.
I'll sing you six, so.
Green grow the rushes, so.
What are you six, so?
Six for the six proud walkers, five for the symbols at your door,
and four for the Glasgow Rangers.
Three the rivals. Two the lily white boys, ho, ho! One is one and all alone, and evermore shall be so. There are lots more verses to this song, but we ain't got time to sing them. 12 for the 12 apostles, 11 for 11 went up to heaven, and 10 for the 10 commandments, 9 for the 9 bright shiners, 8 for the 8 Romainers, 7 for the 7 stars in the sky, and 6 for the 6 proud walkers, 5 for the symbols at your door, and 4 for the gospel makers. Three the rivals. Two the lily white boys, pull their morning feet, ho ho! One is one and all alone, and evermore shall be so.
John, gentlemen, please drink up that here, Mr. Clough. You wasn't in here last Tuesday. That's the first night you missed since the Blitz.
Tuesday? Yeah, Tuesday. Was that the night my Ron hurt himself trying to do hand jiving on a bicycle? No, that was Saturday. No, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Tuesday. Tuesday, Ted, was my dear beloved wife's birthday.
Many happy returns.
Mind your own business.
All I meant was, All I meant was, you see, in my opinion, the older a woman gets, the better she gets. To my way of thinking, women is like wine.
Well, if they are, somebody lift the cork out of my old flagon. Ted?
Yeah?
If I sit here and drink another bran,
yes,
which I hope I shall, you won't believe the lovely present I bought her. Lavish. When I say lavish, I mean lavish. But was she grateful? Not her. She gave me a mouthful of language what had scorched to buzz me off a Grenadier Guard.
What was that?
Well, to give you the whys and wherefores, I should have to arc back a little. Arc back to the preceding evening before, the Monday. That evening, my Ron and his Zeth was on the sofa discussing what they was going to give her.
Knowing what to choose for your mother. I did toy with bath cubes, but I wanted to get something she could use. And then I thought of getting her scent.
Scent where, eh?
No, perfume, beloved. But finally, I decided this would be more suitable for someone her age. Do you think she'll like it, Ron?
No, eh?
You don't? Why?
Because she prefers putting the tea in with a spoon. She thinks bags are unnatural.
Oh, no, Ron. This isn't a tea bag. It's a sachet.
Sachet?
Yes. It's a little muslin sack filled with dried lavender. Gives off a gorgeous smell. Here, sniff for yourself.
Smells all right, but how many cups will it make?
It's nothing to do with cups, dearest. It's for hanging in her wardrobe so that all her things smell sweet. Now, what did you get her, Ron?
Well, I gave it a lot of thought, eh?
Mm-hmm.
After all, she is my mother. And eh, there's nobody in the world who can ever replace a mother.
Oh, that's very true, Ron.
She's the only mother you ever have, eh? So the way I look at it, only the best is good enough for my mum.
Oh, Ron. So what did you get her?
I didn't get her anything.
Oh, Ron, you really are the limit.
Yeah, I forgot.
But you shouldn't have forgot. You should have reminded yourself, tied a knot in something.
Oh, I did, Em. I did, but the knot disappeared.
Disappeared? Well, what did you tie it in?
My chewing gum.
Oh, it is mingy. Ron Glum, you're taking after your father more and more. I'll bet he's got some excuse why he didn't buy her anything as well. Well, you're not going to get away with it, either of you. The shops are still open and there's still time. Mr. Glum? Mr. Glum!
What is it, Ethel? I'm busy in the... What a strong pong. Lavender. Ron? You've been putting that new floor polish on your hair again.
Now, Dad, that's Ethel's birthday present for Mum. It's a sack for making a cup of tea in the wardrobe.
Oh, is... Hey!
Yeah?
A birthday present?
Oh, I thought that'd strike home, Mr. Glum. Strangers can buy poor Mrs. Glum birthday presents, but her own flesh and blood, oh, no, no, no. If I was in your shoes, I couldn't look myself in the face.
I see. All right, then. Suppose I told you, Ethel, I have not forgotten.
Huh.
But I have brought my dear wife a gift, as a matter of actual fact. I locked it away in this cupboard here, so it should stay a surprise. But now, as the French say, viola.
Oh, Mr. Glum. Oh, Ron, look.
Oh, Dad, a white television set.
It's a washing machine. Brand new it is.
Mr. Glum, it's gorgeous. You've made me feel really small. Oh, it'll make Mrs. Glum's life so much easier.
Such is my earnest prayer, eh? After all, what do we put on this earth for, if not to help out our fellow beasts? As Lord Tennyson, the well-known writer, had it, kind hearts are more than clarinets.
How I've misjudged you all these years.
Thank you, Ed.
It must have cost the earth.
Let me tell you something. Let me acquaint you.
Yes?
When a man's sole purpose is to bring his wife happiness, he does not count the cost. All I want is to see my darling helpmate using that machine. Now, who's that?
Here we are, first deliveries for the Glum 24-hour bag wash service.
Oh, dear, Lummy, keep your voice down, see if you haven't started yet.
Yeah, but you told me to go the whole road down collecting all the dirty washing. I've got a barrow full here.
I told you tomorrow. I haven't taught the old airbag how to use the machine yet, I shall.
Well, she better learn fast. They want the washing back tomorrow.
Glum bag wash service? Mr. Glum, I'd like an explanation. I won't be a party to it, Mr. Glum. You're asking me to get Mrs. Glum out of bed the night before her birthday and making her do the washing for the whole street.
Edna, listen, Edna, don't get excited. I've told you. This bag wash service can mean better living conditions for all of us.
All of us? But
yes, all of us. Me and you and all of us. If it's going to succeed, the first consignment's got to live up to its slogan, a 24-hour service. It's got to be done for Sid to deliver back tomorrow.
Dad, I've got it working. Oh, Ed. Come into the kitchen and see. There's all Dad's shirts and vests in it, all tumbling round and round. Oh, it's ever so exciting.
You sure you got the water at the right temperature?
Water?
Me shirts and me vests! Quick! Oh, dear! Look! Eth, do you know anybody who would buy half a bale of mixed rags?
No.
Now perhaps you'll go up and get Mrs. Glum out of bed. We've got a barrow load of work to do. Well, that's what I call a good night's work. Over 700 items all hanging up to dry. And nicely washed and all. Look at this pyjama jacket here. Sparkling white.
When it went in the machine, it had blue stripes.
Still, 700 items. Not a bad first effort. How's Mrs. Glum, eh? How's the birthday gal?
She just reeled in here and fell flat on that pile of wet sheets. And she hasn't moved since. Apart from twitching.
Oh. We'll have to roll her off there, I'm afraid. All these bits and pieces have got to be put back in their right bundles. Ron, that large notebook I'll give you.
Yes, Dad.
Did you do as I told you, Nick?
Yes, Dad.
You noted down very carefully what garments belong to who?
Yes, Dad.
Exactly the way I told you.
Yes, Dad.
Two tea towels, Mrs. Armouth. One pair patch woolly coms, Major James Robertson. So on and so forth.
Yes, Dad. Exactly like you told me.
That's a good boy. Right away, now come on then. Ron will read them out. You help me bundle.
Please.
Off you go, Ron.
Two tea towels, Mrs. Armouth.
Yes.
Righto.
One pair patched woolen coms, Major James Robinson.
Righto, yes, next.
So on and so forth.
So on? Is that all you've written down?
That's it, Dad. Can't be more exact than that. Can I use the rest of the notebook for drawing?
You mean that's all you listed?
Mr. Glum, 700 garments, and we only know who two of them belong to.
Oh, no, not after working all night.
Oh, how are we going to send them back, Mr. Glum?
We can't send them back. We just don't know who to send them back to. We can't. Oh, dear, what a mess here.
Dear.
Oh, dear, what we'll have to do, we'll just have to pile these 668 odd bits of washing, pile them into one big heap right in the middle of the floor there. Then we'll let Sid tell all the cars if they want their stuff back, they've got to come round here and root among the pile here.
Mr. Glum, there'll be blue murder, and you'll get lynched.
Oh, no, I won't. Oh, no! I won't get lynched. I've just retired this minute from the board of the Glum Bag Wash Service. If anybody's got a complaint, they've just got to make it up with the sole remaining director.
Who's that, Dad?
Your dear prostrate mother. Oh, dear, that'll be the first of the clients now. Quick, Eth. Come on, Ron, out the back door. Come on, Ron. What are you waiting for?
You've forgotten something very important, Dad.
Come on, Ron. The whole mob's gathering. Come on.
It won't take me a moment, Dad, but there's something I've just got to say to Mum.
Hurry up, Ron. For heaven's sake, hurry up.
Righto. Mum, many happy returns of the day, Mother dear.
Peter Acaster and the BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley, Professor Jimmy Edwards, and June Whitfield, encouraged by Wallace Eaton and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in again next week and...